Throughout the Bible, it's interesting, you read about how God is always faithful. You can see two things that are constant when it comes to God. I mean, at least two that I see throughout the history of the Israelites, even to this day. His presence and His faithfulness will always go with His people. Now, we are the ones that sometimes we become unfaithful to Him and we don't listen to Him, but He's always faithful. That's His nature. He's always going to be present. And one thing, one of the names of God in the Bible, you hear the word Jehovah Jireh. It means my provider. So because He provides for His people, and you and I know, you and I can tell stories of how God always being providing for us. Yahweh Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And so throughout times, God's provision sometimes come when you least expect it. Or He will use certain people that you was like, wow, He used the unusual suspect to bless certain people. You see that all through the Bible. He's always been in the business of utilizing men and women to accomplish His purposes. And I want to tell you today about the story of, you know his name. His name is David, and he became the second king of Israel. But before he was a king, you know, Angela reminded us, you know, in church, we don't come to church because we have our lives together. We are fallen human beings, so we're not perfect. Talking about David, even though God himself said that David is a man after my own heart. And sometimes you look at his life, it's like, really? I mean, you committed adultery, you kill. It's like, how can you be a man after God's own heart? But that's the kind, I mean, David, when he messed up, he admitted his guilt. So before he became king, remember after he killed the giant, after he killed Goliath, he came to play music for the king Saul. And King Saul was tormented. And you know, one time, he got jealous of David because people would say, Saul kill 1,000, David kill 10,000. So imagine this king is beginning to be jealous of David because now the whole population, the whole people are praising David, who's not even a king, more than him. So Saul became jealous. Now Saul was David's father-in-law because David ended up marrying Michal, Saul's daughter. How did he do that? After he killed Goliath, that was one of the prizes. You get to marry the king's daughter. So David became a fugitive. He had to run away from Saul. And he's in the wilderness of Paran with 600 men. So think about the life of this man, from shepherd to a musician in the palace to a fugitive. I always think about the movie, The Fugitive. You're running away for something you did not commit just because the king hates you. So he's running away, and he's in the wilderness, in the desert, with 600 men. And at one time, David and his men, they're running out of supplies. They don't have anything. They don't have anywhere to go. They don't have anything else. And so finally, during the shearing, sheep shearing season, he decided to send men to a rich man named Nabal. So let me just take you to that story. You got your Bibles with you. 1 Samuel 25. Verses 1 through following. So let me introduce you to some of the characters in the story. Now, 25 verse 1 already tells you that now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him in the house of Ramah. Samuel was the prophet. He was the one who anointed David. He anointed all the kings. He's gone now. So that's the context that the writer is telling us. Then he said, Then David rose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. The man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. The woman was discerning and beautiful, but the man was harsh and badly behaved. He was a Calebite. Now it's interesting, Nabal is described as a wealthy, rich man, harsh, rude, married to a beautiful woman and smart woman. So this woman, beautiful as she was married to a jerk. My translation. Because that's what how Nabal is described here. And so, then David, look at verses 4 through following. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name, and thus you shall greet him. Peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. I hear that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we did them no harm, and they missed nothing all the time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come at a feast day. Please give whatever you have at hand to your servant and to your son David. So see, David sent 10 young men to Nabal to request supply. He's in the wilderness. And, you know, the Bible says it was a feast day. So during shearing time, it was time for a party. It's like harvest time. You know, everybody's happy and you do a party because this is the product of your labor. And so you're getting all the wool from the sheep. And so that's what David waited for that time. And now he sent 10 young men to tell Nabal, hey, blessed be you, blessed be your house. Give whatever you have to this young man. You know, he's desperate. He's in the wilderness, 600 men. So this is how Nabal replied. I'm telling you, he was a jerk. Look what he says. Verse 9. When David's young men came and said all this to Nabal in the name of David, and then they waited. Verse 10. And Nabal answered David's servant, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants this day who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for the shearers and give it to men who come from I do not know where? So David's young men turned away and came back and told them all this. Verse 13. And David said to his young men, every man strapped on his sword. Every man of them strapped on his sword. David also strapped on his sword. And about 400 men went up after David, while 200 remained with the baggage. David came to a point in his life that he just had it. You know, as an anointed man of God, you know, we all come to a point that if somebody pushes that button too hard, you forget about who you are. So David, I mean, mind you, when the young man came and told what Nabal said, he told the guys, get your sword. What do you think he's going to do? Let me give you a better glimpse. Check out verse 21 now. Go forward to 21. This is what David was going to do. Now David has said, surely in vain have I guarded all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him, and he has returned me evil for good. God do so to the enemies of David, and more so, if by morning I leave so much as one male of all that belonged to him. David is about to go kill Nabal just because he insulted the men. He insulted him. Mind you, he's in the wilderness, you know, a short fuse per se, and he sent 10 young men requesting help, and he just insulted him. And then he said, hey, get your sword. He was going to go kill all the male of Nabal's house, which means in that society you will not have an offspring, you will not have descendants, because they eliminate all the male, you're out. This is what David wanted to do, and he's getting ready. So he left 200 men with the supply that he had, little supply with the baggage, and he got 400 men to go against Nabal, and Nabal had no idea that's coming. So picture that. So this is where Abigail comes in. Go with me now. Verse 14. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, behold, David sent messenger out of the wilderness to greet our master, and he railed at them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm, and we did not miss anything when we were in the fields, as long as we went with them. They were a wall to us both by night and by day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know this and consider what you should do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his house. And he is such a worthless man that no one can speak to him. This is one of the servants of Nabal telling Abigail, you better think what you're going to do, because I was here when David sent men and he just insulted them. You know, you've been predetermined for harm. So this is what Abigail did. Then she moved into action. Look what happens. Verse 18, then Abigail made haste. She wasted no time. She took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine and five sheep already prepared and 5 seeth of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on donkeys. And she said to the young man, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she did not tell Nabal. You see, she's doing that all by herself. She did not tell Nabal. Nabal wasn't going to agree with this. She's taking matter into her own hands. Verse 19, 20. As she rode on the donkey and came down under the cover of the mountain, behold, David and his men came down toward her, and she met them. Now David has said, surely in vain I have guarded all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him. And he has returned me evil for good. God do so to the enemies of David and more also, if by morning I leave so much as 1 male of all that belonged to him. Verse 23, when Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from her donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, on me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. Let not my Lord regard this worthless fellow Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But your servant did not see the young man, my Lord. But your servant did not see the young man of my Lord whom you sent. Verse 26, now then, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand, now then let your enemies or those who seek to do evil to my Lord be as Nabal. So Abigail, you see all the things that she got ready. Once that servant told them, this is what happened, and our master insulted them, harm is determined for this house. She moved. She did not waste any time. She got supplies ready on donkeys. Because remember, the guy said, "This, you consider what you must do, for disaster is hanging over your master and all his household." Verse 17. You see, she recognized the severity of the situation. And she wasn't going to ask Nabal. Because Nabal, the word means foolish. A fool man. And even the servant said nobody can speak to him. So she did this all by herself. She got the supplies ready for David and his men. Sent the messengers ahead of her. And then when she saw David, he was already coming up. She humbled herself before him. She says she got off the donkey quickly and bowed down before him. And then she requested to speak. Hear me out, please. And it's interesting because she said, on me alone be the guilt. She's taking the blame of her husband. And she told David, I did not see the young man you sent. Now, she also encouraged David to think before acting. Look at verse 26. God has kept you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself with your own hand. These are words of wisdom from this woman. Also, she asked David to accept the gift. Let's keep on reading. 27. She said, now let this present that your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who belong to my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servants. She's asking David to forgive her husband. And then she says, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord. And evil shall not be found in you so long as you live. If men rise up to pursue you and seek your life, the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living and in the care of the Lord, your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord has done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you prince over Israel, my Lord shall have no cause of grief or pangs of conscience for having shed blood without cause, or for my Lord working salvation himself. And when the Lord has dealt with my Lord, and when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your servant. Verse 32, and David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Look at all the things that Abigail told David. She's taking matters into her own hands and saving the life of Nabal, even though he had no idea what's happening. Because Nabal, you keep on reading the story, he's throwing a party with everybody. He has no idea what was coming. Abigail did not let David get to the house, because if she waited until David got to the house, it would have been too late. 400 men with swords to kill everyone, every male in the house. So that's why she determined to go and meet. And look at all the words that she's saying. Think before you act. I mean, think about it. You're going to be a king over Israel one day, and then you wouldn't have to have that past in conscience that you shed innocent blood. Because remember, it's not fighting a war that David is coming. He's mad because how Nabal responded to him. And because he's running on a short fuse, he had it. And he's ready to go kill him. You know, he's going to kill everyone. Now, and this is not a cause of war. No, he's just because David, you know, he was at a low time in his life. He lost it. So when you look at Abigail, I think Abigail was God's answer to David's madness. Or God's answer, God's provision to David's folly. Because, you know, and also to Nabal. I mean, what she did, she saved the life of her house and her husband. I mean, she even asked for forgiveness for Nabal. He wasn't going to ask it. She did. It's like, please hear me out. She came and humbled herself before David. Abigail, like I said, was God's answer to David's folly. She was sent by God to stop David from a massacre. She also saved the life of everyone living in the house, because she recognized the danger. And she didn't wait for anybody else to tell her. She went and did it herself. She saved Nabal's life, and he did not even realize. Now, she became prophetic. Some of the things she says, she said, the Lord will give you a dynasty or a house. The Lord will give you a sure house. If you pay attention to David and the lineage of David, the Bible says that the Messiah will come from the line of David. So, because there was a promise made to David later on that you always have a king. So the Messiah is going to be a king, and he's going to come from your lineage, from your descendants, you know, from David, Solomon, and them. And so she mentioned that over here. So it tells me apparently she might have heard words about David. The Lord will keep you safe from your enemies. Verse 29, she said, the Lord will make you a ruler over Israel, a prince over Israel. Verse 30. And then she said, when the Lord has been good to you, when the Lord has given you success, remember your servant. Remember me, she said. And then this is how David replied to the action of this woman. Mind you, this is the first time David and Abigail came face to face. This is the context. You know how sometimes people bring people into your life and you have no idea who they are. And now it's like, wow, like, you know, Abigail was God's answer to David, because David was going to do something crazy, and her words made him think. David praised God because of her. Look at verse 32 through following. He said, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. So David said she was God sent, because if she had not been there, he was going to kill Nabal and everybody in the house. So God sent this woman. Now, you see, she did not hear a voice say, Abigail, go meet David. No, she realized there's something here needs to be done. If I don't do it, you know, we're in danger. This is the information I'm giving. So, hey, go get the supplies. She brought all kinds of goodies for David. And then the words. Then David said, so David recognized it was God who sent Abigail. She was God's answer to his madness. Verse 33, blessed be your discretion. The ESV said discretion in that translation. The word there should be blessed be your discernment. Blessed be your wisdom. Because she, wise woman. Remember, the description, it says she was beautiful and smart. He was harsh and rude. Blessed be your discernment. And then he says, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt, from shedding blood, and from avenging, from working salvation with my own hand. Verse 34, for surely as the Lord lives, the God of Israel, who has restrained me from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me. Truly, by morning, there had not been left to Nabal so much as one meal. Then David received from her hand what she had brought him. And he said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have obeyed your voice. I have granted your petition. Wow. First time Abigail and David come face to face. Abigail saved the life of her house from a catastrophe. And she saved Nabal, and he had no idea. Nabal is throwing a party. You keep on reading, and I encourage you, read the whole story. He's throwing a party, you know, and then the next day she waited to tell him, and he got angry, you know. Had no idea, disregard for like, your life was in danger, and I just saved you, man. Maybe what you should say to me is thank you, but he didn't. 10 days later after that, God killed Nabal, eliminated him. And in case you didn't know this, when David later on heard that he was dead, he asked a young man to ask Abigail to be his wife. Abigail became a wife of David. And this is the first time they met. So, and I think of all the, he had five wives. Now, the Bible doesn't say that you had to have many wives, but that, we're talking about the culture of that day, and people have multiple wives. But that doesn't mean that the Bible supports that. A lot of times people read that and say, oh, there's a lot of slavery. Oh, the Bible supports slavery. No, that's the context in which the Bible was written. There was polygamy happening all the time in that scenario. David had five wives. His son had 1,000. You know, and you know, but that was, but Moses had only one. You know, there were certain people, Caleb and Joshua had only one. So it's the context, the culture of that day. I think of all the wives that David had, Abigail was the smartest. Because there was another one called Bathsheba. And Michael didn't like worshiping too much. But this one already, you see what she's doing. And so David was like, he was attracted to this woman because of what she did. And so Nabal is gone. He asked Abigail to come to be his wife. When you read the whole story of what happened. You see, God used this woman to accomplish his purposes. And later on, she's gonna bear kids, sons and daughters to David. She displayed courage and discernment. And even David recognized her sound judgment. He said, blessed be you because of your discernment. You see, why am I telling you that story? Even though, you know, it's Mother's Day, and why am I telling you the story of Abigail? Because we're talking about God's provision, how he provides all the time. You see, here's an example of a woman that her determination saved her family. And she was in a society that women were considered second-class citizens, and women had to call their husbands masters. You know, it's almost like the husband, whatever he says, you gotta do it. She didn't wait for Nabal. She did what needed to be done. You see, there are a lot of women in our society today, like Abigail. A lot of smart women, discerning women, marry to jerks in our society today. And they might not know what they need to do, but you know, it's like, gotta continue serving God. Do your thing. God gifted you with abilities and things to provide for the family. Even if the man that you're married to is not providing, you do it. And Abigail is an example of that. Women of courage and determination, willing to do whatever is necessary to save her family, and she did. Even if doing it means that they had to do it alone. You know, sometimes you're depending on the husband and he's not, you know, but I gotta wait for him. Who says that you had to wait for him? I mean, God gave to you that, you know, do what the Lord's asking you to do. That's what she did. And look, she saved Nabal and she kept David from adding to his curriculum bad things. I mean, adding the murdering people when it was not even a war, just because you were angry. She was God's answer to David's craziness and madness. Baby, praise God for Abigail. And my friends, we too have women in our lives that we got to thank God for them. We praise them. We praise God for them because of their determination, because of hard work, because of their discerning. They will make us better. Make us guys better. When we get women to be like Abigail. So, on Mother's Day, let's thank God for the ladies in our lives. Because God will always bring and provide for us what we need to. When we least expect it, He will bring provision. People around you, people, men and women, that He will send to bless you. He will send to stop you from doing crazy things like He sent Abigail to stop David from a massacre that day. It's interesting when you look at the gospel, and I was thinking about all this idea. She was riding on a donkey to bring supplies to David. I'm just thinking, I did not have that on my notes, but I was just thinking about that because she got her donkey ready and she got off the donkey to talk to David. 1,000 years later, somebody, a descendant of David, is riding on a donkey going to the city of Jerusalem. And I thought, like, interesting. You know, she got off the donkey and bowed down before David. The descendant of David is going to come riding on a donkey in the city of Jerusalem. And people are going to say to him, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the King of Israel." And that was Jesus. And it's interesting when you look at the genealogy of Jesus. In a society that only men will be considered, you know, and put in a genealogy, there were some women included there. Women of influence. You look at Abigail, was a woman of influence. And she impacted her life because of what she did. And so, ladies, whoever you are, God will use you in a powerful way. He's not done with you. You're here today, and whatever situation you might be in, you might be like Abigail, married to Nabal. He still can use you, and He still will use you to accomplish His purposes, because God's faithfulness and His presence will always go with us. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep shining His face upon you and give you a blessing. Would you pray with me this morning?